The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, well, we start a brand new series today called New Year, New Me. And I want to encourage you to come back each Sunday this month of January that we are going to be talking on the subject of how can we be made new? How many of you took some kind of New Year resolution this year? All right, either you have already broken it or you just didn't even do it this year because I see like three hands. All right, well, New Year's resolutions, they can come and go. Many years, most of us make the same ones because we failed to follow through the year before. And we always think of some strategy or way to help us to keep it. Well, this year, I want to let you know about this series, New Year, New Me. Is something that me and about 20 other churches, we're good friends. A bunch of us make up a church planning network, and we meet about once a month, and we decided to kick off this year doing this series together. So we've created this website called newyearnewme.org, New Year, New Me, no spaces, and you can go on that site, and you can list out your goals for 2014, and then you can browse others, see what they've been putting, and their churches from all over the United States who are doing this together, and we can kind of like celebrate the wins and pray for each other and our goals. And so this is a great way that the body of Christ can extend beyond these four walls, and we can really lift up each other. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not gone to that website yet, I've been tweeting about it and putting it on Facebook. You can log in there, put your goals, and let other bodies, other believers lift you up. And it's a great way that we can be there to partner with each other. 2013 brought a lot of interesting things into the earth. One of the greatest things that happened in 2013 was an announcement that came that they're making new Star Wars movies. Yes, the most amazing news in the last 100 years. There's been all kinds of things that came out of 2013. One of the weirdest, but in some ways, one of the ones that I like the most, is the coming on scene of a selfie. How many of you have no clue what I'm talking about? I didn't even know that was the word for it until I saw, this hashtag craze that's kind of taken off. You hashtag and then some weird run-on word or group of words with no spaces. Hashtag selfie started appearing on all these things, and I was, what is a selfie? And so I did it, and it's those weird pictures that we take of ourselves. And you're laughing, but check out some of these. Yeah, right there, yeah. So we all, no matter where we go, and these are all you guys. Yeah. So for ages, I found myself, happy birthday, Mary. For ages, I was always absent from family photos until the dawn of selfies. And I don't have any on there to show of myself, but I want to take one of us and our church family right now. So you ready for a selfie? Here we go. All right, so you're going to have to squeeze in. My camera's not that wide, so stand up. I'm serious. Stand up. Squish together. You're like, are we really doing this? All right. If you're in the aisles, I cannot see you. Squish. All right. I'm going to have to go widescreen with this. All right. Here we go. One. Everybody smile. Pucker, whatever you got to do. One, two, three. Remember, you got to take about 10 to 15 to get the right pose. You're laughing because you know it's true. All right, we'll see how that turns out. Thanks, guys. All right, let me tweet this real quick. You really can't take a picture without letting the whole world know. All right, here we go. I'm going to grab the right one. Wow, there's like angels in here too. Oh, that's just light beams. All right, let's see what we can do here. Manny, why aren't you standing up? Is that Manny? He's in my picture right here. All right, here we go. All right, we're going to try and get this on screen in a minute.
Can you tag us all?
I'm working on it right now. Send. Actual size. Done. All right, we'll see what happens there. All right, so selfies. It's the new craze. Everybody's posting selfies. They want to, you know, you saw Nathan there displaying his new look, you know, the turned body, the puckered cheeks, and selfies, you know, they want, a lot of times we want to display like our new hairdo, our new outfit, some new place we've never been before, some awesome person that we're with. I was at some autograph thing, and it was so weird. Somebody was like, "Can I have a picture of you?" And the guy was like, "Yeah." And then she jumped over the table and got in it, you know? And the guy was like, "What are you doing?" And but that's the new craze, is these selfie things. And I actually like them because now I'm in our family photos, even though the kids hate it. Dad, right? So anyway, selfies. The truth is that we can look at ourselves a lot. But if selfies really, there you go. I'll have to work on that for next time. Thanks, Austin. It's here for Austin. If a selfie could really reveal what was really going on inside us, I wonder what we'd really think. Because when we look at ourselves even deeper than just the outside, just the look, the hair, the clothes, if a selfie could really reveal what's going on inside us, what we think, how we feel about ourselves, the things that we know to be true about ourselves but we don't want anyone else to know, the things that we wish we could somehow change and maybe made a resolution or two about those things, a lot of times we just kind of fall short of our hopes and our goals and our dreams. And what I want to do is help us this first month to realize that change can happen. There's a myth that's often said that you can't change who you are. But the scriptures tell us, as I want to point out this month, that if you become a child of God, you become a new creation. And all things can be made new. Everything, every struggle you have in life, Christ can come in through the power of his Holy Spirit and give you a new life. And my hope is that we as a body of believers will embrace that truth. That we will not only look at what we wish we could be, but that we would embrace what God has us to be. That we would look to him and allow him to bring change into our life. So we're going to be doing this together, along with many other churches who are doing the same series. And so I really want to encourage you, if you are a person that prays regularly, that you would actually go to that website, maybe once a day or once a week, however often you take time just to set aside to pray. And they're going to be strangers. You can post your thing, and it's not going to have a picture of your selfie up there. You can post up there. Be honest, you know, and other people will lift it up. And God knows who they are praying for, but you'll be praying for people from Missouri and Michigan and North Carolina and Woodbridge, Virginia. And God knows who they are. And as we partner together, there's power in prayer and us praying for each other. So I want to encourage you to go to that site, newyearnewme.org. Now, if you want to take notes this morning, there's a handout, a blank sheet for you to write down whatever it is that God is challenging you with this morning as we go through this series. And I want to encourage you just to be honest with God and let him break open your heart and let him be real with you. And then respond to whatever it is the Holy Spirit is leading. You know, there are things in our lives that we want to change, but some things we cannot change on our own. Some of us have been dealing with struggles and habits and attitudes and things in our life that we have tried over and over again to change. And some things just can't change without the power of God. And so I want to encourage you to look into that, to embrace that fully and dive into realizing that I can't change myself, but God can transform me. God can change me. And if we work together at seeking him, I believe that we will help each other accomplish all that God has for us. One of the things I want to say this morning is that I am convinced that in life, one of the greatest tragedies is not necessarily the sins we commit, but the life that we fail to live. All of us have habits in our life and things that keep us from becoming all that God wants us to be. And we can look at that. We can try to battle our sins and we can try to break our habits. And many times we think that we have to get our life right before God can really use us. But as the old hymn says, Christ calls us to come to Him just as I am, just as we are in our brokenness, with the sinful dirtiness that we're covered with. Just come to Him and surrender and let Him take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. That's really where it has to begin. A couple apps I love on the iPhone. My favorite is the GPS app. How many of you use it even when you don't need it? I love that game. You're like, what are you talking about? You know, it shows your estimated time of arrival, 10:36. I always want to beat that score. It's my favorite game. So I'll be just driving down to, to Target. It says it's going to take me 6 minutes. I'll get there in 3. With the GPS, the way it works is you put in it where you want to go, and then it calculates, and it always asks you about your what? Your current location. And so you can input something, or you can just hit current. If your iPhone is on, it automatically finds it. If you're Droid, it needs more help. So you have to actually turn your GPS on. And anyway, we won't get into the Droid iPhone fight today. But it always needs to know where you are before it can tell you how to get where you want to go. And in our life with Christ, it is the same way. If you want to know where God wants you, you have to start with where you are. You can't discover who God wants you to be until you realize who you are. And that's where we have to start today. We have to look at our lives and say, God, honestly, where am I right now in my walk with you? And where do you want me to be? And how do I let you lead me there? So I hope that you will embrace that, that you will honestly take some time today to pray through that. At the end of service, we're going to do something a little maybe out of your comfort zone. I'm going to ask that as we go through this series that you just be praying, God, where am I? Where do you want me to be? Can I really change the things that I'm struggling with in my life? Some of you, including myself, I've struggled with some things since the age of 9, 10 years old. I remember age 9, 10, going to church on some Sundays and feeling so guilty about things going on inside me. And I'd run to that altar like they do in old-fashioned Baptist churches, and I would pray at that altar. And the truth is some of those struggles I still deal with at the age of, am I 41? 42? I'll be 42 this year. Okay, so anyways, 30 plus years, and I'm still struggling with some of the same things. And the only way that I've been able to find victory over the things that are deeply rooted in myself is through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit and Him giving me freedom. And so my hope is that you will, through today and from here on out, be praying, God, help me to let you change the things in me that I cannot change myself. Because that's what life with Christ is all about. Him making us new. So I'm sure if we were to start now, we could all come up with a list of things that we feel we need to change. Getting in shape, losing a few pounds, being nicer to our spouse, being more present in our children's life, being a better friend, a better husband, a better person at work. Our list can go on and on. I want to encourage us to look beyond the outside. A lot of our hopes and dreams and our resolutions and our goals are more about what we can try to accomplish on our own. What we can change about our appearance, what we can change about our status, what we can change about how people see us. And sometimes we can accomplish those goals. How many of you have set a goal out, like to lose a certain amount of weight or to get to the gym, and you actually were pretty good at it? You accomplished that goal. Are you just not wanting to brag? You can raise your hand. Okay. Some of us, we have the ability to set a goal and to meet it. But to be honest, many times those goals that can be just accomplished in our own power are often really, honestly, superficial. And many times they're not lasting. We can achieve a goal, but then there's always a next step. There's always something greater, or there's always having to maintain whatever it is that we've accomplished. And if we live life based on accomplishing goals within our own power, we're always going to be unsatisfied. We're always going to be wanting more and unfulfilled. Jesus Christ said this. He said, "I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Life full of meaning and purpose and direction." And if we truly are looking for the meaning in life, we can only find it in the one who created us, God Himself. And allowing Jesus to live in us through the presence and power of His Holy Spirit, He can show us how to not make change from the outside in, but from the inside out. Lasting change comes when we allow God to go into the depths of our heart, the depths of our soul, and reveal to us where we truly are in Him. And then open up our lives in a act of surrender to say, "God, see where I am, explore my innermost thoughts, and change me from the inside out." My hope and prayer is that all of us will embrace that, because when we truly learn to walk in the power of the Spirit, God-sized things happen regularly. When we embrace what God has for us and what He can do through us, we will see mountains move. And that is my prayer for 2014, is that we as a body of believers will embrace God's mission and vision for us as individuals and us as a body. And as we surrender ourselves to Him, He will do amazing things through us. If we continue to focus just on the outside shell that inhabits the being that's within us, sure, we can change things temporarily or on the outside. But if you take a skunk and you dress it up and put lipstick on it and dye its hair, it's still a skunk. And in the same way in our lives, if we try to change everything on the outside but leave the inside just the way it is, not surrendering that to God, then we're really missing what life change is really about. So my encouragement to you is to embrace the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says this. This is from the Living Bible. Oh, that's the NIV. I'll read both. The NIV says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." The truth is that in Christ we can become new people. We can become who God has created us to be. I like the way it's put in the Living Bible. It says this: "When someone has become a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun." If you're honest with yourself, do you feel like you need a new life? Do you feel like you need a new start? Is there some area in your life that you feel like you need God to come in and completely transform? If that is true for you, then I invite you just to call out to Him and say, "God, I'm going to stop trying to do this on my own. I invite you to come in and to change me." God is the change agent. He wants to be involved in our life, changing the things that we cannot. And if we surrender to Him, we will experience what true life can bring. When we learn to submit to God fully, He will then change us. He will change me, and then He will help me change the things in the other areas of my life that I cannot change and that I need His help with. Romans 12, 1 and 2 say it like this. This is Paul speaking to believers in Christ, those who have decided to put their faith in God as their Father, as their Creator. And he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be, say the word, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you want to know where God wants to take you in life? Do you want to know his will for the things that are going on in your life? Then seek him. Don't conform to the ways of the world. You can go to the bookstore and find whole sections on self, how to improve yourself, how to better yourself, how do you teach yourself. But it really should start with us coming to God, our creator, our master, and letting him show us. He made us. I tell this story often. I don't have too many stories that illustrate this well, so if you heard it, don't spoil the punchline. There was a guy years and years ago who bought a Model T Ford. And he was fortunate enough to be able to afford this car. And he went out driving. He was driving down a country road. There weren't too many cars being purchased at that time. And so he was out alone just enjoying the drive, enjoying the car ride. And all of a sudden the car stopped. And he couldn't figure out why. He climbed out of the car. He went to the front of the car. He lifted up the engine cover, and it was a mystery to him. He pulled this, twisted that, turned this, and nothing he could seem to do got the car running again. In his frustration, he slammed the hood shut, and he went down and sat in front of the car. Some time passed, and as he sat there scratching his head, frustrated at the problem that he had found himself in the distance he heard the sound of another car. This car approached and came up and pulled up behind him, and a young man got out and walked up to the front and said, "Just enjoying the day?" And the guy was like, "No, my car stopped. I can't figure out how to get it running." And the young man said, "Well, do you mind if I take a look?" The older guy was like, "Yeah, whatever, go ahead." So the young man went, lifted up the hood, made a couple adjustments, and in a couple seconds walked to the front of the car, gave it a crank, and the car started right up. The older guy was just surprised. "What did you do? How did you know to do that?" The guy turned to him, the younger guy, and said, "Well, sir, my name's Henry Ford." He made the car. He knew the car. He knew exactly what to do. And many times in life, we're like that older guy. We look at our life and our life situations, our life's problems, and we try to fix them on our own. We try to change them on their own, and we try to twist that and yank that and dye this and tuck that and buy these clothes to try and shrink that in better. And we try to do everything to fix things ourselves when we have the creator of the universe there by our side at all times. And we simply just need to surrender and come to him instead of trying to fix things ourselves and oftentimes making them worse. We should start by going to the Father. When we come to him and submit ourselves to him and immerse ourselves in the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit through his word and through being around other believers, transformation inside us, true change, will start to happen. But it begins with you realizing your current location. Where are you with God today? And then let the calculation come through the Holy Spirit as he begins to plot for you the course to how to get to where God wants you to be. When you submit to him, he will lead you. Like Awesome said earlier during testimony time, the route may not be the one you would try to choose. And it may take you longer to get to where God wants you to be than what you want to take. But God's way is always perfect. God's timing is always right. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And so he may choose to change your goals. You may have a goal to do this, and he says, "You know what's going to be better? I'm going to not let you accomplish that goal. Let me help you form a new goal." And so as you think about 2013, I want you to think about what you can truly discover and allow God to help you to discover. In the last 100 years, one of the most amazing discoveries that happened was in 1928. A guy named Alexander Fleming was working at St. Mary's Hospital in London. He was researching agents that could be used to combat bacterial infections. Fleming ran out of time, not really making much progress, and he decided to go on vacation. Not cleaning his petri dishes completely, he left them by the sink. But when he returned, he found the culture dishes that he left unwashed. One of them, he noticed, had something that had grown on it. It was a mold, and the bacteria that was growing around it was apparently secreting some kind of substance that prevented the harmful bacteria from growing. Fleming named this substance what? Penicillin. Thousands of lives have been saved now because of that amazing discovery. There are discoveries like that that have happened all through life, and yeah, they're great. But I want to tell you that the most amazing discovery is not the discovery of penicillin or a cure of any illness or disease. It's not even the announcement of new Star Wars movies coming. The greatest discovery is for you to discover who God has created you to be. And if you submit yourself to Him, He will show you. He will lead you. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 puts it like this. For He chose us. Just pause there a minute. You're sitting there in this room. I want you to know that God chose you. God loves you. Despite the way you see yourself, God chose you. He loves you. He loves me. In spite of whatever mistakes, whatever brokenness, whatever failures, whatever letdowns, He chose us. And He loves us. He chose us for a purpose. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, before all that we even see existed. God in His mind, in His all-powerful mind, said, one day I'm going to create this person. And I'm going to love them and I'm going to use them for a purpose. To be holy and blameless in my sight. In love, keep going, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. In accordance with His pleasure and will. Keep going. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us, and the one that He loves. I want you to hear it in the Living Bible. It says this, long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away. It's not really there. Long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes, without a single fault. We who stand before Him covered in His love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He did this because He wanted to. Jesus wants to make you new. Jesus gave up everything, the scriptures tell us. He had heaven and all to Himself. And He gave up all of it. And He surrendered Himself to come to this earth, to be born to die, to be tortured in our place, to take our sins upon Himself to make us new. Your new life in Christ starts now by you calling to Him and saying, Christ, I want You to forgive me for the sins that are in my life. I want You to forgive me for the things that I willfully choose to do. Come into my life and make me new. Forgive me. The scriptures tell us that if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. And that's where new life begins. When we turn from our own way of living life, our own way of trying to fix things on our own, when we turn from trying to make New Year's resolutions that just matter on the outside, and turn to Him and say, God, I am nothing without You. Come into my life, forgive me, make me the person that You want me to be. This is where new life starts. And my hope and prayer is that if you're here today and you've never taken that first step, you may have a list of things a mile long that you want to change. But my question and challenge to you is, are you willing to take the first and most important step? And that is to let God begin the change in your life by giving you new life in His Son, through His Son, and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior of your life. This is where new life begins. Let's pray. I want you to take the next few moments. I know normally what we do at this time is we prepare our hearts, we think about God and the challenge we've heard that day, and then we spend time being led by worship, by the band, and then we take communion, remembering that this is all only possible because of what Christ did for us. But today, I want you, before you step into that, I want you to sit there before God, and I want you to say, God, what is that one thing that I need to change in my life? What is the next thing? And for some of you, it's to take the first step of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And my encouragement is, as you sit there today, God is listening to your heart even now. And you would say, God, yes, come in and make me new. Father God, I pray for those who are sitting in this room who have maybe never invited you into their life, that they would take this first step even now. Christ Jesus, come in and make me new. Father God, I also pray for those who are in this room who have taken that step and who are farther in their journey, in their walk with you, but for maybe one reason or another have either gone off path or have decided to sit down on a bench along the pathway. God, there's some struggle or some hindrance or something in our life that we're messing with that is keeping us from truly going where you want us to go and becoming who you want us to be. And I pray, God, that you will right now invade our hearts and show us what our next step is to be. For some of us, it may be confessing something to a loved one sitting near us. For some of us, it may be us finding somebody in this room to pray with, to ask you, God, to come in and give the strength, and maybe the help of a fellow friend to help the right steps be taken to accomplish whatever it is you're leading us to do. God, I pray that you'd help us to hear from you. Show us, God, how we can be made new today, this year, for you. So as we take these next few moments, as the worship team leads us in drawing close to God, as we prepare our hearts for taking communion and remembering that Christ broke his body and shed his blood to forgive us of our sins, to give us the ability to have new life, that each of us would think through what God is saying to us now. I'm going to ask our community group leaders to make themselves available to pray with others, and our leadership team, our transitional leadership team, if they would make themselves available to pray with others, and our prayer teams will be in the back as well. I want to encourage you to come forward to pray with me, to find your community group leader, to pray with them, to find one of our ministry leaders. And just, if you know that God is leading you to do something, then don't take another step without first finding somebody in this room and saying, this is the next step I know God wants me to take. Will you pray with me about it? Let us embrace one another, lifting each other up, encouraging each other, praying for each other. And community group leaders, transitional leadership team members, prayer team members, you're not exempt from this. Maybe you need to pray with the first person that comes to pray with you, or turn to one standing next to you and pray with them as well. Let us respond to how God is leading us. Let's yield to His leading so we can become the new people God is creating us to be. Father God, move among us now. Break our hearts. Holy Spirit, lead us. In your name we pray.